Imaragai Gimbai, Biribi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. And this week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison will be sharing some inspirational stories on witnessing to people about God and how God turns up in the most unexpected places.
Today I want to talk about being faithful to God, sharing your heart to other people, and you never know what's going to happen when you share your heart to other people. And we just want to share Jesus all the time. And there are times that a special occasion that you'll be sharing with somebody and they'll get so touched by what you're sharing that they want to become a Christian. In today's show, I want to focus on the different times in my life that I've been sharing and people have been so touched and moved by it that they want to become a Christian. The first story I want to tell you about is when I was in prison. I used to preach in a prison cell, and it was about 12 foot long, about 6 foot wide. And you won't get many people to come and listen to you talk about God in a prison cell. And we started off with about 3 people. I'd sit in the up on the toilet, put the toilet lid down, and I'd sit on the toilet. And then I would preach the gospel to 2 or 3 fellows. And every night, this was every night, 7 days a week. And a new guy came in. He came along for the very first time. And I was sharing about God's love, and I was sharing a bit about my testimony and sharing how good God is. And this guy said to me, he said, "You know, Tony," he said, "all the things you say, they're pretty okay," but he said, "but how do I know that God is going to just do the things that you're saying he's going to do?" Well, and I said, "well, it's all about trust and about faith." And I was sharing with this guy, and he was only doing about 3 weeks. Anyway, at the end of the 3 weeks he left there, he became a Christian. And then I'd never heard from him for ages. And then I was out on a day leave one day, and I decided to visit this shopping mall. And the first guy I ran into was this guy at this shopping mall. And he was so excited to see me that he wanted to tell me that not only did God change his life, but change his family's life, and that everything was going so great for them. And he would have thought that 3 weeks in prison, cutting out fines, would allow God to get a hold of him. And he needed to be in jail, even though it was only for fines that he couldn't pay. But in that 3 weeks, he got the gospel 7 days a week. I was the original 24/7. We used to preach the gospel every day and share it with different people.
A gospel song today and get her ready to send the years of guilt and shame away. Years of failing, years of nailing up yourself to a cross you can't bear. That's why he's there. What a beautiful day when he washed up sins away. What a beautiful day. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace through faith. Myself, but him. What a beautiful day when he washed all our sins away. What a grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace through faith.
One day when I was in prison, a prison guard approached me and he said to me, "Brother," he said, "you know, I've been watching you for months, actually for a lot longer than you think." And he said, "I know you're saved and I know you're a Christian." He said, "But I've been going to church," he said, "all my life." He said, "But I don't have what you have. I don't have the joy in my heart that you have. I don't have what you have in Christ." And he said, "But I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right because I'm happy with my church and my religion. And my wife is more religious than I am. She actually goes to church 7 days a week. Every day she's at the church." He said, "But we're so miserable. She is so miserable." He said, "What have you got that's so different to what we've got?" And I remember saying to him, I said, "Brother, because I don't have a head commitment to God. I have a heart commitment. It's all in my heart, a relationship." See, a lot of the times, my friend, we can say, "Yes, I love God," and it's all in our head. But it needs to go from the brain down to your heart. It needs to flow through. And when it comes from the heart and it comes from the spirit, that's when God does something really special. And he said, "But how do you know? How do you know," he said, "that when you've said those words that these things happen?" I said, "Well, you go home and try that, and then you come and see me tomorrow." That night when he went home, he had a dream from God. And then he came to me and he said to me the next day in the prison, he said, "Tony, I had a dream from God last night." And I said, "What was the dream?" He said, "Oh, it doesn't really matter." I said, "Well, it does matter because you're concerned about it." I said, "Just tell me. I know I'm a prisoner and I know you're a prison guard. But, you know, God's love, it goes far better than that. So you just tell me what your dream was." He said, "I had a dream that me and the wife and the children were in church as usual." He said, "And I looked around me in this dream, and I looked at the wife to say something to her, and all I saw was a skeleton, dry bones. And then when I looked at the other people in the church, that's all I saw was dried up bones." And he said, "And it frightened me because I couldn't see my wife or my children. All I saw was dead, decayed bones that are just decaying away." And he said to me, "Can you ask your God what that dream meant? Or can you get an interpretation for me?" And I said, "Give it, leave it with me." And I went away and I prayed about it. And I came back. I said to him this, "You're practicing religion. And the people that go to this church with you, there are people there that aren't dried up bones because they have a personal relationship with God. But the ones that you saw going to church 7 days a week and being there for hours and hours every day doesn't make a relationship with God. And so you're wasting your time." I said, "To put it to you bluntly, you'd be better off going to the club 7 days a week for the same amount of time you're spending in church. You're not there because you love God. You're there because it's a way of life. It's something you've been brought up with. And it's just something you do out of habit." I said, "If you continue going on what I believe God is showing you, that when you die, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to be like those dried up bones. And you're not going to be given eternal life." Being a prisoner, to say that to a prison guard, you know, I thought, well, wow, this guy's going to smack me in the head, or he's going to put me in solitary confinement, or call me a cuckoo, call me something worse. You know what? We just sat and talked, and he actually made me a cup of coffee. And we sat down in the wing office, and we just talked. And I said to him, my friend, you can have so much more if you just put your trust in Jesus and not in a religion. And I said, you just really need to. He said, but I see where you're coming from, and I see the joy that you have in your life, even though you're a prisoner, that you're locked up. You're locked up in a prison, and you can't see your family when you want, and you can't do this and that. But he said, I see the happiness and the joy that's in your life. My wife wouldn't see that. And my wife, she said, she's religious, 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 religious. He said, and I'm seeing that there's more to God than what she's doing, what we're doing as a couple, as a family. And I said, let me talk to God. Let me go and ask God for some wisdom. Let me ask God to give me something that you can say to your wife that she will see, and God will set her free. Now, the Bible tells us that the truth will set us free. And we need to have God's truth. When God shines his light upon our hearts and upon things in our, a little light comes on and the truth will set us free. And I said to him, let me pray about it for one more day. And I did. And I prayed about it. And he came to me the next day and we had a coffee and we were just talking. And I said to him, you need to say to your wife that Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus lives inside of us. When we asked him to come in, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And then we will start serving God and we will have the joy that Tony has in his life. And I said that and I said, Lord, where did that come from? What do you say to someone that's so religious, so bound up in tradition and religion? And I thought, Lord, is that really going to work? And Lord said to me, you just gave the words I wanted you to give. You get him to say that to his wife, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. I didn't see this guy because he had 3 or 4 days off. And then when he came back to work, he called me down to the wing office, and we sat down for a coffee. And this guy, he was a prison guard. He wasn't a little 90-pound weakling. I mean, this guy was big. He was built like a mountain, like a brick outhouse. And he sat there with his big calloused hands and, you know, holding a cup of coffee in his hand, and tears were just streaming down his face over his beard. And he said, Tony, he said, I finally worked up the courage to talk to the wife on the weekend. And I shared the words that you told me, that Jesus is no longer on the cross. And he said, it was like a light bulb came on. It was like being in a room full of darkness and turning the light on. And the other thing I told her was, in the dream that I had, that when I looked at my wife in church, all I saw was dried up bones. He said, I had another dream, and I saw the beautiful woman that she is. I no longer saw the dried up bones. He said, you know why? He said, for the very first time, as a family, together on the weekend, we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. And for real, it was something from the heart. It wasn't religious. We just sat at the coffee table and we cried out to God. And you know what? Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And I wait for somebody to open up the door. And when you open up the door, God says, I come and live inside of you through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus knocked on the door, that family opened their hearts and let Jesus come in.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Tenderly calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come.
Often hear this old black fella talk about hearing the voice of God. And I'm not Wamba. For you white fellas out there, Wamba means a bit silly in the head. Means you're a bit touched. Yes, I am touched. I'm touched by God. And this is a story that I want to leave you with. I was on the council. First black fella elected the local government in 109 years. And I was on the council for my second term. And I was at a Roads Conference. You know, councillors are always going away spending the ratepayers' money. And we was at a Roads Conference, and was actually in Moree where I was living. And I'd been doing a bit of work with local councils and dealing with Aboriginal issues, especially in places with law and order and like people like places like Broken Hill, Wilcannia and Dubbo and back of Burke, and you know, I've been involved with helping people understand Aboriginal people through this cultural awareness course that I developed. And I was at the council, and it was coming up to a federal election. And I met this woman. She probably would have been a late 50s. She was a very good-looking woman. And I saw her there at this function. And God said to me, Tony, you need to go and talk to her. And I said, oh, Lord, look, there's all them old codgers hanging around her, like, you know, bees to honey. I said, I'll never get near enough to talk to her. And I said, what do you want me to tell her? And God was very soft in his voice to me. And he said, Tony, you need to say to her, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Would you spend it in God's camp, or would you spend it in the devil's camp? And me and God got down to some serious discussion about this. I said, come on, God, you can't go up to somebody at a function like this and say, excuse me, love, if you died today and dropped dead today, I said, where would you spend eternity? Can you imagine me having this conversation with God at the back of the room? Somebody must have thought I was nuts, because I was really getting into a discussion with God about it. I said, God, I can't go and do that. God said, you don't have to do it right now, but today you have to talk to her about where she's going to spend eternity. And so they was doing a photo shoot with the honourable local member at the time, Anderson, out on the front steps of council. And she was standing in the wings waiting to talk to him, the honourable member. Anyway, I said, I'm more important than him. So I went over and I excused myself and I said, g'day, typical black fella, g'day. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? And she said, of course you can. I introduced myself as Councillor Dennison, from the Moree Plains Shire Council. And she said, yes, I've been told I should talk to you because we got problems over at our council. And you need to probably come over there and we'll pay you, of course. Yeah, you come over as a consultant. And I said, Lord, this is my opportunity. I said, you might change your mind after I say this to you. But I said, look, I've been having a bit of a debate with God up the back there, I said, for a while. And God's told me I got to say something to you. And I said, first of all, do you believe in God? Well, a typical answer, a typical Aussie answer is today is, well, I've, you know, went to Sunday school and I know God exists and I know there's a devil and there's a heaven and a hell. But she said, apart from that, I don't give it much thought. I said, well, that leads me to my next thing that God told me to tell you. And I looked her in the eye and I said, listen, love, I said, God told me to say this to you. If you died tomorrow, where would you spend eternity? In God's camp, in heaven, or in the devil's camp, in hell? And she gave it a bit of thought. She didn't give me an answer straight away. She said, well, Tony, she said, I believe I'm a good person. I really believe that I'm a good person. I don't do things wrong. I don't mistreat people. I would like to think that would count for something with God. And I said, darling, the world is full of people that think they're good people, but God knows different. Either you accept God as his Lord and Saviour, or you don't. And the consequence is if you don't accept God for his Lord and Saviour, you're going to go to hell. There's no other way to put it to you. And I thought, well, that's over and done with. I'm finished. But for the next 3 days, God told me to go up to her every day and ask her, if you die today, where would you spend eternity? Would it be with God or would it be with the devil? Your choice. God says he's not going to accept I'm a good person. It's either one camp or the other. You have to make a decision today one way or the other. And I thought to myself, God, why does she have to make the... Why is it so important she makes the decision today? Now, for 3 days in a row. Anyway, the conference finished at lunchtime. And I remember the last thing I said to this woman, I said, don't forget, you have to make the decision today. What camp do you want to finish up in? And she said to me, she said, well, I'll give it some thought and I'll ring you with my answer tomorrow. And I said, darling, I said, tomorrow might be too late. You need to make a decision today. I'm happy to pray with you if you want to come into God's camp. If you don't, well, then that's okay too. But she said, no, Tony, I promise I'll ring you tomorrow. That lady went to Parks that night. They stayed in a motel. Her, the general manager, she was the general manager of the council, the mayor and a couple of councillors. There was 2 vehicles. They got home the next day about lunchtime. And on Saturday night, she wanted to go to another function, her and the mayor. And being way out there in the back of nowhere, there's a lot of gravel roads. And most country people are aware that when you travel along country roads, that there's always hazards, kangaroos, cattle, and just the rain and the rain and the weather. And what had happened was, I didn't know about this until the Monday morning. The mayor was driving the car. He swerved off the road to miss a cow on the road, hit a table drain, rolled the car, and she died. And I still don't know to this day what her decision was. You see, not everybody gets the chance for God to send somebody along to talk to them, for God to speak to them. I mean, the God of the universe cared so much about that lady that he sent me along to tell her, if you die today, where are you going to spend eternity? And you know, you need to make a decision today. That's what I said to her. And I said it to her 3 days in a row. I've asked God many a times, where is she? Where is she spending eternity? Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised one day in glory. But the most important thing I can say to you today, if God is speaking to your heart, or God has sent someone along to you to speak to you about how good God is and gives you that opportunity, then don't put it off till tomorrow, because God loves you.
The songs on today's program were Shane and Shane, Saved by Grace, and Alan Jackson with Softly and Tenderly. Today, Tony said, if you feel that God is talking to you, do not disregard it. This is important because he obviously needs you to know that you're not forgotten. In fact, you are very much loved in his kingdom, and he's wanting you to let him in. As Tony has shared, God is a gentleman and only comes in when the door is opened. If you're wanting to know more about God or you feel that God is talking to you and you're not sure where to go from here, find a local church near you and talk to the local pastor. Or you can call Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. He would love to take your call. You've been listening to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Thanks for your company. We will see you back here next week. Remember, you can look for us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International. Take care.